This is GLPBC 2012, home to the raw feed live and rapid fire topic discussions. You can listen to our shows via live stream by navigating your browser to godlikeproductions.com, or you can listen to our archives located at podcast.godlikeproductions.com. You can also find us on iTunes. GLPBC shows now in its third year are produced in our live web-based auditorium where listener interaction and participation is encouraged. We are raw, uncensored, where humans from around the globe can discuss, debate, learn, laugh, cry, get angry, and to speak freely about concerns and issues that affect us all. Join Phenomenon, Ragman, Hubnuts, JDO, Jay, 2342, Kingman, Art, Osiris, Isis 7, Yobo Discus, and Libertine in BC, because GLPBC, like a poker hand, gives it to you straight. Enjoy the show.
Good evening to everyone in the auditorium. Those of you listening on the live streams, all of you that download on iTunes, as well as anybody that is not a truther girl named Sarah Palin, or if you're posing as Lady Gaga. Welcome to GLPBC's The Raw Feed, live, courtesy of godlikeproductions.com. It's Thursday, March 29th, 2012. Our guest tonight is the very controversial man himself, Dallas Goldbug of WellAware1.com. As many of you know, Dallas has put together some very controversial videos exposing famous people in Hollywood or entertainment and those in authoritative or influential positions in our country. Many famous celebrities, such as the ones I mentioned at the beginning of the open, like Lady Gaga, Sarah Palin, to Jimmy Carter, William Cooper, Max Kaiser, Rick Perry, and many others. Dallas has also been keen on showing very good evidence that some of these same actors helped stage many of the Occupy movements across this country last year. You can find out more and see many of these videos at his website, WellAware1.com. Before we begin, we ask that you, the members, be respectful and not mic up unless cued to by the show's hosts, VC Mods, or its producers. Any mic abuse will result in expulsion from the auditorium. Please limit your text chatting to questions only for our guests, which we'll address in the last segment of our show. Our hostmaster tonight is none other than 2342. VC Mods, Kung Fu, Isis, JDO, Kingman Art, and Yobo will be helping out in the auditorium. Osiris will be taking your text questions and taking your mic questions as our very own phenomenon. Hubnuts is on holiday, so filling in for the Pod Nazi tonight on sound control is Jay. And now, to the man who has so many similarities to Mel Gibson and Braveheart, Dallas really needs to check him out. Our bro and our host for this evening, 2342.
Right on. Thanks a lot, Rags. This is going to be an awesome show tonight. Thank you, everybody that's attending. And Dallas, really appreciate you making it out here tonight, man. I've seen some of your work. I actually watched one of the videos today, the 42-minute one, where you say Sir Charles Branson is actually the iconic in the conspiracy forums or the conspiracy world. It's David Icke, and you know, that's a pretty mind-boggling statement, just to say the least. And when you put together some of the similarities, I mean, there were some. I could see where you're going with it. I don't know if I would. I'm certainly not convinced that, you know, that is Sir Charles Branson. But I would like to say this: as far as David Icke goes, when I first read some of his work about 7 years ago, that completely blew me away. And it seems to me like something. If it was David Icke, I don't think it's the same David Icke anymore. So I'm wondering if these guys might have put a plant in, kind of like what happened to. Paul McCartney with the Beatles. We all know about that famous transplant, and there's a lot of evidence that points to Paul McCartney of now isn't the original Paul McCartney. Let me ask you this. What led you to this particular path and, you know, exposing all of these actors? Did you see something on the news when, you know, at a certain age it just kind of sparked your memory and you said, hey, I've seen that before, and then you just started going on this path and realizing that everything is similar to the movie Wag the Dog. I don't know if you've seen that before, like in Hollywood, where it's just all actors and scripts and, you know, I've certainly felt the same way for a lot of years, but I'd like to turn the mic over to you and tell us, you know, if you would, what led you down this path?
Well, briefly, I guess, just to answer your one question about the Wag the Dog, yes, I did see that. And Robert De Niro being one of the stars in there, we do see him in one of these events that we see that's a fake event. But to answer your question about how I got started in this, basically doing the investigation into the Gabrielle Giffords event, I started to see the similarities between certain individuals that were involved in the appear in the Pima County Sheriff's annual awards booklet. That's Sheriff Dubnik's award brochure. And as I saw these individuals that were playing roles in the Gabrielle Giffords event, and then seeing them, of course, in the sheriff's catalog, I had to question, of course, the validity of the sheriff's office out there. Were these people actors, or are they sheriffs, or are they both? What's going on? So as I started to really get in deep with that, I uncovered a Picasso web album, and it was open to the public. And while I was doing image searches and found that, one of the images that popped up first and that caused me to actually go in and search this album out further was a image that looked like the girl, the little girl from the Gabrielle Giffords event, the Christina Taylor Green. So looking at her face on the screen, I went, well, that's Christina Taylor Green. What's going on here? Whose album is this? And it happened to be Vicki Greenberg's. Well, of course, there are attachments to those albums where there's other family members that have their albums, and it was two other members. And combining those two members together, the albums totaled approximately 5,500 pictures of this family from the 2004 period till present. And when I say present, I mean there's photographs of the little girl that I just mentioned, Christina Taylor Green, that were taken. If you look at the meta information on the side, that is the background information in the file that's hidden. The date that the file was created was after the Gabrielle Giffords event. So at that point, I had to ask questions, of course, like, who are these people? Is this really the little Christina Taylor? So using the information that we were given by the press of who her grandfather is and who her father is, I started to look for people that, of course, matched that in those albums. And I found the person that was her grandfather, and, of course, he looks a lot like the Dallas Green from the Philadelphia Phillies. So I started to do the ear analysis and match these people up and confirm this. So along with that, I started, of course, looking for other people, and then I found a person named Tony Greenberg, which happens to be Dallas Green, or his real name is Michael Greenberg. And honestly, I'll tell you that I don't think Greenberg is not their real name either. There's another name beyond that, which I'm starting to find out more. But just for this purpose, we'll just use what we've come to understand. So Michael Greenberg's son is Tony Greenberg. Now, if that name doesn't sound familiar to you, it's probably because you know him by a bunch of different names. And one of them would be David D. Rothschild or Pepe Escobar or many of the other characters that this person, Tony, has played on a lot of the news events that we see. The shooter of the White House the other day, that was Tony Greenberg. And he's very talented, very skilled at what he does. And then when you find out who his sister is, then it starts to become into perspective where you see where he gets his skills from, where it's in his genes, basically, where he is a very good actor. He's an excellent actor. And the fact that he's now taken that acting skill and he's using it for what I consider, personally, I think it's morally wrong. I can't find a crime linked to it. I can't see, you know, if it's broken any statutes, but I'm not a lawyer. But the ones that I've talked to have said that they're not really breaking any laws per se, just, you know, morality laws. So, you know, I run into this problem where, you know, I set out on this mission to bring these people to let justice be meted. And I'm finding out that I'm probably not going to be able to do that because, of course, what I just mentioned. But the fact is that they're related to individuals that are high up in the courts and our government, like Rockefellers and things like that. So the chances of me actually getting it to that point were very slim to none. So my focus was to present this to the court of public opinion and to report what I see as what I can back up as facts so that other people can be informed and use this information to make better judgments for their lives. Because I see a lot of this stuff out there on these so-called truther networks that are basically set up by these families to basically divide and conquer the people that are involved. So I guess that's pretty much the whole background in a nutshell.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's very remarkable. Some of the protesters and some different events that you made connections with, I could clearly see they at least look like the same person. On other ones, I had a difficult time seeing the comparisons. Now, do you have some type of, like, facial recognition software similar to maybe what, you know, some of these alphabet agencies would use that could pick up certain facial features, you know, like the particular cheekbones and where their eyes were located and stuff like that? Or is this all just based on what you see and what you perceive?
Well, see, here's the problem when it comes to automated software like that, especially when it comes to facial recognition. The landmarks on the face probably are the most changing part of the body that you have. It will change over your period of lifetime. Of course, we know we can see everybody age. But the ear is a part of the body that stays the same throughout life, except for the lobe can change, and, of course, if there's damage to the outside. But the inside of the ear stays relatively the same. It's on a flat plane, and it doesn't change when it comes to your expressions. So that has been something that's been studied by the National Center for Biometric Information, and that's the U.S. National Laboratory of Medicine in Bethesda, Maryland. So, you know, there's credible, you know, reports and studies that have been done on it to show that the ear is something that we can use like a fingerprint, and it actually is more exact than a fingerprint. The only things that are more precise than it are DNA test and a retinal scan, which, of course, you need the permission of the people that are involved, the under investigation, to use those techniques. With the ear, we don't. And plus the fact that these individuals are in the media. Yeah, we have a good shot of the ear because they're all over the TV. So I started to use that as the basis for the analysis. Now, I'm sorry, there was two questions in there, I thought. What was the other one? About how I, oh, at the software. No, I don't use any software. And like I just said, there's so many ways for them to mask the face or to use makeup. And, of course, you know, the only thing that's disadvantaged with ears, of course, is women with their hair. So most men don't have their ears covered, and that's the primary focus that I've been looking at. But you do realize that they take a mugshot and they turn your head to the side to get a shot of your ear, not to get your profile. But that's the way that they've been doing this forever in Europe, and so now it's becoming more popular over here. INS is using it now, and they actually have forms and standards to take that photograph of the ear. There was seeing these family members and seeing, you know, finding Tony was the key to the whole thing, because I saw so many individuals that he was playing, and then come to find out that I went down to the Dallas Occupied event because I heard that they were coming to town, and of course I didn't see your guys' your evaluation of it, so I was unaware of that at the time. But so I was planning on going down there, and I did. I took a team with me, and we took video, and we took photographs. Now, my natural ability that I have as a person to look at these images and to see things, it only works when it comes to a two-dimensional image. I can't do it for some reason, and I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling you how this works. I don't know. But when it comes to meeting somebody in person, for some reason, I can't click that memory and attach that association to that person for some reason, because coming home after I took those videos and looking at the videos, there's Tony standing right there doing a speech with the bullhorn, and then behind him we see there's Baldwin brothers, and we see a whole bunch of different people like Gary Johnson, presidential candidate Gary Johnson, he was there. So, you know, I'm standing here going, man, I can't believe I just missed all those people, and I do remember them now seeing them, but at the time I had no perception of it at all. And also, Ryan Dunn was there, and Ryan flipped me the bird, too, when behind him was his ex-co-host, Jessica Chobot, from the last TV show that he did before he supposedly died. So, you know, you see all these people, and I'm looking at it going, wow, I cannot believe all these people are there. And then you see the same actors in other occupied events across the country. So then I sort of linked these together, and then I found out that the whole link behind that was MoveOn.org. And who the funding was behind that, follow the money, and you'll find out who is involved. So if you go to MoveOn.org and you download or you look at their commercial that they have on there or their TV commercial, you can see the same individual commercial, and obviously I guess left where they were, what they were doing, and who would be seen. And then the tie-in from them to the family members that I'd been investigating was the fact that I saw the same person that was involved in the Gabrielle Giffords event, and there you see him again in the occupied footage, and that's Brandon Lee Pittman. And for those that don't know who Brandon is, he owns a film company in Arizona, and he was the one that they used the face for the mugshot of Jared Loughner. Now, they used a head of a different person, and that person was somebody that's, I can't believe it blows my mind, too, when I think about it. But he goes by Kenny Bloomberg. Kenny is the head of the Independent Film Association of Southern Arizona. But it turns out that Kenny also is Jeff Rentz. And that same person is the same person that is a three-time Academy Award-winning cinematographer. So, I mean, it just... It all leads back to these same actors involved in Hollywood that I see in these productions. And by using the nearby metrics, we can pretty much narrow it down and be positive on who they are.
Let me ask you this, Dallas. Who did you say is Jeff Rentz?
Jeff Rentz is a person by the name of Robert Richardson. And he is a three-time Academy Award-winning cinematographer. He worked on the movie JFK. He's worked on tons of different films. I mean, he's like the number one man when it comes to doing good films, Oliver Stone stuff, and I mean, it was pretty incredible. So when you look at it, you see he's got the same hairstyle, he's got everything, but you know, that's not Jeff Rentz you're looking at, and you can't really tell. But then when you put them side by side, and of course Jeff has his ears covered, so the only thing we can go by is the hair and the facial landmarks. And we have a really good shot of if that is Jeff Rentz. There's a shot of him sitting on a motorcycle, and then, of course, the one that he uses for his bio. So we have a good shot that we have of matching to that person. And then to see the fact that that same Robert Richardson is Kenny Bloomberg, and then we see Kenny playing a bunch of different roles. We have, of course, his headshots and a bunch of different photographs from him, and we can pretty much say that we know that that is the same person.
Got it. Wow, that's, Fenn here, she's actually, I think, personal friends with Jeff Rentz, so, I mean, that's got to be quite a shocker for to hear that.
Well, here's the thing, though, that these people, when they do this, they take on this role. It's not like, you know, they show up to a set and then they put on a disguise and, you know, they put on a character and they do it and then they go home. These individuals, from what I've team so far, and from what I've heard from other individuals, is that they take on the role and they take it seriously. You've heard about actors going down and living with homeless people for, you know, a month before they do a movie that has to do with it, to get into the understanding, the mindset of that individual.
Well, that's like Jim Carrey did that, didn't he? Carrey does that, right?
I believe him and Robert Williams did it a few times, but you know, there's been a number of those big stars that take it seriously and do their due diligence. So, you know, to say that this person has fooled maybe your friend, and I don't know if there are particulars, but, you know, is it quite a possibility? And I have people that come to me and are so adamant that, you know, they have talked to Pepe Escobar, and they have met him, and they know it. He's stood there with them, and he's stayed at their house or whatnot. And I said, he may have. He possibly has. But did you ever think about the possibility that he's fooling you because he's trying to build this character, this association, so people do go around and say, I know him, I know that person, and he is real. It all adds to the validity of what they're trying to do. So, you know, that's the fight, the battle that I have constantly with people that you know, I don't want to call them liars, but, you know, I just want them to realize that the possibility is they scammed you.
Do you think that they could also possibly, some of these people be like Manchurian candidates where they could be activated to personalities and take on the personality of somebody else with, you know, certain keywords and trigger words, and they may not even realize it?
You know, from this is my personal opinion. I have no evidence, of course, to prove it either way. But here's what I say, the logic behind it. Somebody didn't, you know, program them to go cash that check that they got from their acting gig, and somebody didn't program them to go spend that money that they earned. So for me to think that they were programmed all of a sudden to do this, and then all of a sudden didn't realize what they were doing, you know, it's hard for me to believe that somebody wouldn't come forward and say, you know, this is wrong, you know, I was whatever, and be a credible person. But you know, if that were the case, if they did have a Manchurian candidate, don't you think that they would have some footage of these individuals performing those acts, like, you know, say, the killing of John Lennon? you know, Sirhan, they would have had somebody on that block with a camera, you know, to take a picture. So, you know, if they knew that this was going to happen, if they knew that that person was sent out to do a mission to kill somebody or to do a certain event, they would have somebody tailing them to get some footage of it to show, you know, say, hey, prove it. Here you go. This is the person that did the job, and there he is doing it, you know. So there's a lot of things from my perspective that I look at and I go, I seriously, these people made a conscious decision to do what they did, and they're actors. So that's just what they're doing.
Interesting. And, you know, also one of the things I wanted to bring up is you used to have a YouTube channel that I think you had quite a bit of subscribers to your channel, correct? And a lot of views. And you exposed something supposedly about Bristol Pollen, where you compared her to be the truther girl. Is that what you think got you got the channel shut off? And before you answer that, I just wanted to say, as far as, you know, playing devil's advocate here, you know, if you did, you know, because you're obviously bringing up some really big names, some really big figures, and saying they're other people, and whether they are or aren't, but let's say they aren't for a second here, and these people get upset because they feel like you're basically defaming their name. I don't know if that's the right term or not. But, you know, I mean, wouldn't that be a valid reason to take you off the air on the YouTube, per se, so they didn't get, like, files charged against them?
Well, see, that's the legality that we're looking into right now. And YouTube played the role of playing it safe. Now, they took my website down not too long ago, 2 days ago. And the reason why they took it down, the hosting company said that they got a bunch of complaints, just the similar complaints that YouTube got, and they decided to take it down. Well, I went on to basically my Facebook channel, and I put out a notice to everybody that I had on there. I said, you know, let these people know, if you agree with what I'm doing, you know, complain about those people complaining to this hosting company. And then within about 20 minutes, 30 minutes, my site got put back up. And the hosting company took the position of that, you know what, if you have a problem with what he says, it's free speech, you can go sue him. And these people tried to threaten a lawsuit against the hosting company. Well, my point would be, you know, if you have a problem, sue me. Do everything that you can and sue me, and that's fine. And the other thing I do is I offer those individuals that disagree with me to offer a earshot, a nice, crisp, clean earshot, and submit it to me, and I'll do an evaluation, and we can clear the name. So, you know, that's another way that I've said, look, here's a way that you can prove me wrong. Please take this up and do it. And so far, the only person that has taken me to court, and not really taken me to court yet, they filed a complaint, and right now it's in, I've responded to that complaint, was the person Haskell, what's his name, Kurt Haskell, the underwear bomber, who I do believe is of course, again, Tony Greenberg. And I've put that filing that I made with the Monroe County Court, County Clerk, you can go to their website and you can pay the $10 to download it, or you can download the one that, of course, is not certified from me, but you can get the certified one from them if you want. But you can download my response to him, and it's on my website. And, you know, I'm being totally open with everybody, and you can see the whole procedure that goes in with what he said that I'm saying. So, you know, they have a route that they can take. They have a legal route, and that's what I believe that they should use if they disagree with me. If, you know, nobody's contacted me, and I've tried to contact them. So I've done everything that I can do on my end to make it easier for them to, you know, to counter what I'm saying.
Got it. I'm going to turn the mic over to Phenomenon now. Finn, you there?
Yeah, how you doing, Dallas? I just want to throw something at you. I don't know whether you've seen a thread that we have. I think I linked it to you. I was just wondering if you've had a chance to investigate. Have you seen the similarities between Jose Padilla and Zimmerman?
You know, I saw that a little bit, but I didn't have a chance to really look into it because of the fact that, honestly, I don't really know too much about that case other than the fact that Regina King, her son, looks a lot like the person that's involved in that, too. So,
the reason why I didn't mean to step on you, dude, I'm on a delay here. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because everything of the news of late has been synonymous with gun control. If we backstep over to Gabrielle Gifford, I happen to agree with you in the aspect where's her resume? You go to state, everyone's respective state has an area for their senators and their congressmen, and her resume is missing. Her resume has been missing since day one. She popped out of nowhere and became a senator. And I believe, you know, in with your theory that, you know, she was just created. She got shot, allegedly. And what happened 2 weeks right after she was shot? Obama decided to meet regarding the Brady Bill. All these shooting incidents of late, especially with Zimmerman, which they are now trying to incite a race war. You know, just briefly here, you know, you got the Black Panthers putting out a $1 million bounty. They're calling to burn Detroit. You know, that's terroristic threats, and they're doing nothing about it. But yet, if I look you in the face on the street and say, dude, I'm going to tie your eyebrows together, turn you upside down, pound sand into your fucking ass, I just got arrested for, you know, making terroristic threats. They're doing nothing about this. And, you know, I believe media is no longer reporting the news. You know, they're manufacturing it for a reason. Gun control is going to be happening. They're going to disarm the United States. I've been fighting people off in a thread recently that I posted, I think, yesterday or the day before, where they don't believe it. But if you just take a look at the pattern, and if you get a chance, please review that link that I sent you. One of the members of the community posted, "Hey, do you guys see the similarities between Padilla and Zimmerman?" I was like, "Holy friggin' crap, man! You know, it's just one psyop after another." As you and I discussed, you know, you have a lot of information on your site. That's, you know, according to me, you know, I have a little meter. Is it possible? Is it plausible? Or is it, you know, bovine excrement? And you have a lot of plausibility. Not possibility, you have a lot of plausibility, you know, because you have linkage. And the linkage is important. You know, it's like, you know, the wrist bone's connected to the arm bone. You have significant linkage in a lot of your alleged claims. And with that said, I believe that you're doing a good job on many. I told you, I got a problem with the Joan Bidet and Amy Winehouse, man, because Amy Winehouse, like I said earlier, you know, I wouldn't fuck her with somebody else's dick. You know, that baby was cute. Amy Winehouse was such a dog, man. But I don't see what you see. I don't see what you see.
You know, you hit on the golden question. I mean, this is, it all stems back to the gun control and things like that, but it goes beyond that, and this is something that I've just recently been really thinking about and learning about when I found the Hitler and the connection between Roosevelt's and Hitler and, of course, Walt Disney. So when you look at the perspective of how long this has been going on, and you look at the people that were involved back in the turn of the century, you see that the game plan has always been divide and conquer. And it's always been funded by the bankers, and those are the people that, of course, are the problem. It's the money situation again. Fund both sides of the event. And while they do that, what they do is you can pick almost any big event that has happened since since 1900s, and I will show you that what they do is they send in the operatives or the actors, and they create the extremes, one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum, and they try to divide the people that are involved, everybody that's interested in it, just like look at 9/11. They create the truther movement, and then they, you know, they have the NIST stuff. So they create these extremes just for the purpose of separating the people and turning them and pitting them against each other. And every time they do that, they fraction the society. They keep on fractioning it, each part more so and keep on alienating certain individuals, where it makes it almost impossible for us as a voice, as a community, as a United States citizen, to say, you know what, stop. We're not going to take this anymore, and we demand to have the evidence, you know, period. We're going to put aside our personal preferences or our personal problems that we have with this particular event, and we're going to look at the bigger problem here, and that is we're not being told the whole truth, so how can we therefore make up our decision based on half of the facts? So they don't want us to be organized like that, and they've been doing this since the day one. And we can show facts and facts and facts of them playing this game. So when it comes to the weapons situation, yes, that's definitely one of the things that they do not like, because that is the only thing that we as a people have to defend ourselves. You know, once that's gone, they can do whatever they want. But the law behind it, and, you know, I want to make sure that people understand that you don't give up, they don't take your rights away from you, you give them up. And they trick people into doing this by using these false flags and these false media, and the fact that TV has eroded away. And what you mentioned was something I want to be very specific about. You said, does this person have credibility, or, you know, are they full of shit? And you base that on your, you know, your perception, your guide inside, your gut feeling. But what I'm telling you is, that gut feeling, and this is something that was really, it's really hard for everybody to understand, is, and I've had to go through it too, is that gut feeling that we have is based on things that we've seen majority on TV, or we've heard through other people that, of course, again, have seen it on TV. So this false reality, this these reality shows that they call reality shows are not reality shows. There's no such thing as a reality show. But what they do with that show is they undermine your common sense and your ability to judge and evaluate a situation with the correct, you know, guidelines, with the correct, you know, benchmark to then say, oh, okay, well, that can't happen because, you know, I know this to be fact. And that plays in, and I'll give you an example of how that works. People come to me all the time, they say, you know, I feel really, I'm worried about you, Dallas. I really think that, you know, they're going to come and get you, and they're going to, you know, you're going to disappear, you know, or you're going to, they're going to suicide you. And I tell them, and I said, you know, I mean this with respect. What gives you that ability to think that that would happen? What have you seen in your world or whatever that's a real thing, a real possibility?
And I said, outside. Sorry to interrupt. Well, outside of them trying to take your site down, nobody's paid you a visit. You know, you haven't been harassed. Your ISP hasn't been shut down yet. You did mention, did somebody sue you yet? Because you put on your website, I saw that and I found it to be hilarious. Hey, this is a slander site. If you disagree with me, sue my ass. Has anybody filed a lawsuit?
Well, the only one, like I said, I mentioned earlier, that was Haskell, but it's right now, it was a complaint that he filed, and I countered with my comments on it and presented my facts. So it's now in his, basically his court where he can decide to proceed with it or just let it drop.
I would love to be a fly on the wall for interrogatories. I really would.
Oh, believe me, you know, discovery is going to be a great thing when it comes to that. And that's what I told people from the beginning. I said, you know, this is going to be a good thing if somebody does sue me, because it'll be an opportunity to make them identify themselves, and it will pull them into court, and it'll just open up Pandora's box. So that's why I said that the reason why they're not doing that is because they know. So even if I'm wrong about one, which I don't, I might be wrong about one that I've just come to realize just recently, but he's actually a part of another part that is even bigger. But
well you know, next week, we have Orly Tates. And when I saw that on your site, I said, well, you know, this is how I'm going to play this one out, man. We only have her for an hour. And I told Regs, I said, I'm going to wait to the end. And at the end, I'm going to ask the $64,000 question. I'm going to ask her if she heard of you. I'm going to drop the bomb. And if she hangs up, at least we got the hour's worth of the show, you know. I'm just going to say that one to the end. Because she's an attorney.
She's heard of me, and I've tried to contact her, and I've got an email response back from her, and she asked, who is this? Because I know who her family is, so my email was basically, you know, asking a personal question, like, who is this person, whatever, so she knew that I knew the family, and she didn't answer the question, of course, but she shot back over, who is this person, who are you? And that right there told me that, you know, something was going on, but she's never responded since. You know, again, here we go with the Obama thing, the truthers and the derogatory names that they put on people. So I call them the worlders, the new worlders. But yeah, she's one of those people that basically comes in as a toe and tail pro and just basically steers a whole group of people that are really concerned and really have authentic reason to doubt his authenticity in the office. But what do? They put somebody in there that now all of a sudden you say, oh, that's our figurehead. So they sit back, the normal people sit back and watch what she does, because she's the pioneer. She's going to be the one that's going to, you know, run with it and take them to court. And they show all these court scenes, and she gets, you know, put down all the time by the judges. And so everybody's angry. So they build up this anger again, the same thing they have to do with all the other events. They try to work people up, and they try to get people to act out in a, you know, in violent way, and that's wrong, absolutely wrong. It's peaceful non-compliance all the way, period. I don't care what they say. But, you know, with that, you have to know what they're trying to do to you and how they're trying to manipulate you into reacting that way. And that plays big time into some of the other people, like Stuart Rhodes, which we can get into in a little bit if you want to, and who he is.
I would like to, because that I'm going to leave that to 23. Before I might talk, I just want to throw something, one more thing at you. Last night we had Jordan Maxwell, and I think we were about midway through, and I've seen what you posted on your site about him, and I do see a similarity between, you know, him and Cooper. However, We did a show on Bill Cooper. It was just a topic discussion a while back. Bill Cooper's Behold the Pale Horse. And I said, whoa, wait a minute, guys, listen to this. I have two windows open. We have the show in progress, and I have Bill Cooper's podcast, you know, Behold the Pale Horse. And I said, you know, it's one thing being a doppelganger, but, you know, the voice was his. His enunciation, how he speaks, the mannerism, how he enunciates. I was like, holy crap. You know, like I said, it's one thing looking like somebody, but to duplicate a voice like that, and it was natural, you know, it didn't sound like he was trying to change his voice, whereas he was saying, you know, and he said this live, you know, I have lost everything, so, you know, I don't give a crap. You know, I'm really starting to believe that not everybody, but that, you know, certain people are living have a duplicity sure. In the media.
Yeah, well, you know, I've had my run-ins with Bill Cooper, the person, back in the days when I was doing the Kennedy assassination books, and High Treason was the first one I did when I was 15 and went bestseller on my 16th birthday. But Bill was, back in those days, he was saying that the driver had turned around and shot Kennedy with an electric gun. And like I said, I showed the image on my website where, you know, you could clearly see what he's talking about. And I explained to them that, you know, he's using a black and white footage, which is a high contrast footage, and it does look like that there's a gun, but it's the reflection off the passenger's head, and you can clearly see that the driver's hands are right by the steering wheel, and they don't leave the steering wheel. Plus, you have, you know, both Connelly's in the way of the shot. So, you know, back in those days, we debunked, myself and Robert Groden debunked Bill Cooper, and it was not too long after that that he, of course, well, it was a long time after that, but he could never really live. Get past that being debunked, and of course his Oswald sighting, which was Billy Lovelady in the school book depository doorway. So, you know, he's always had a problem with that. Now, when he kills himself off, if you research the event that took place, even the Pima County sheriff's records and all that, or the Arizona, what I can't remember what town it was in, I think it was Pima. But anyway, it even says that there's a lot of gray areas, and they don't really know too much about a certain thing. So it's one of these games again that they're playing. But the thing that really got me going was this. Did you see on my website also, you said you noticed the stuff that I put about them, but did you see the link to the telephone conversation, well, the Skype conversation that I had with a person that was claiming to be another person, a researcher? And when, as soon as I heard the voice, I went, oh, this is Bill Cooper again. I mean, this is Jordan Maxwell and Bill Cooper. I mean, because he even has that distinctive cough after he speaks for a while. He starts to and
yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, this is Bill Cooper, or this is Jordan Maxwell, whoever. And I'm going, I can't believe he's actually trying to pull this off where he has to know that I know who his voice is. I mean, it's obvious because, yeah, he has a very distinct mannerism about it.
But somebody mentioned the leg. Now, I would know if one of them was missing a limb. Do you know anything about that? One of them is missing a limb.
Really? I've never heard of that at all.
Somebody posted it in the show thread, you know, either that or the thread I had the other day regarding your site. Somebody said, yeah, but nobody mentions about, I think, what was it, folks, was it Bill Cooper missing a leg or Maxwell? But anyway, they said that needed to be addressed as picture-wise, that between the two comparables, you know, what about the missing limb?
Oh, you know, I would like to see it, but that's, you know, the whole thing about the missing limb, it's, we remember, we're talking about Hollywood here. We're talking about people that are involved in tricking your visual sense. So anything that comes out of that or comes from that person, I have a hard time even, you know, believing, especially if it's, you know, something like that. That you remember Tom Hanks and Sheriff Dan, or Sheriff was, no, it was Sergeant Dan in the Tom Hanks movie Forrest Gump. You know, he was missing a limb there, but of course he's not missing. The real actor's not missing that limb, so it depends on how the budget is. So for somebody like Cooper's size or Jordan Maxwell's size, he's an icon, so, you know, they're going to put more money into defending him and trying to you know, show he's in one place at the same time as, you know, whatever. But the whole thing about that is the ear has been something that they've overlooked. Now, they have tried to manipulate the ear when it comes to putting pieces on the lobes or, you know, the camera angle and the lens perspective is something that they use all the time. And having a three-time Academy Award-winning cinematographer in your midst is definitely a blessing when it comes to that. So they know the cameras, they know the lenses, and they know the lens distortion issues. So they use that to their advantage. But the ear, again, we see the raw shots of him, and they do match Cooper, and exactly. And the voice is something, like you said, that matches. Now, the voice in particular, people always ask me, well, why don't you do voice analysis on all these other individuals? Well, because here's the problem. And this is something that we can see happening with the Ron Paul and Joyce Riley. And when I say Ron Paul and Joyce Riley, I mean Ron Paul and his wife, because the wife that they're using, that's Joyce Riley. And if you see the footage of her online, you'll notice that it's Joyce, but the voice has been kicked up an octave. So they have post-production techniques that they can use. So there's nothing that comes out that they can't mess with when it comes to the voice, but it's a little bit more difficult for them when it comes to the ears. So, you know, we have to then take a larger sample of photographs that we can get as large as we can, so then we can compare them to make sure that the image isn't being manipulated. So, you know, there's lots of different steps that have to go through before we can say that this person, yeah, that ear is, and this ear isn't. So I just want to make sure that people understand that they are trying to trick you. So they'll take that extra step to do so.
All right. 23, back to you. And thanks a lot, Dallas. Back to you, buddy.
Thanks, Ben. You know, another thing I wanted to talk to you also about, Dallas, is with the Hollywood media, the pre-programming, and how the Department of Defense puts tens of millions of dollars into a lot of the scripting and these TV shows and, you know, blockbusters that are seen around the world. Are you familiar with the scenes in the movie Knowing where they portray the 420 events of the Gulf oil disaster as well as the Fukushima event on 3/11?
Yes, I am. And there's a thing about that really caught my attention. I'm one of those people that a continuity director hates, because I'm the one looking in the background for consistency when it comes to scenes. I'm the one that, you know, are there clothes or is a cigarette half burnt in one scene and the next scene, you know, it's a full cigarette. I'm that type of person. So when I saw those videos of the oil rig burning, there's a technique that they are using when it comes to the filming of it, where they're bouncing the camera in a certain way. That bouncing of the camera is not consistent with somebody that would be filming that from a helicopter, especially, and if you see the same thing happening on the 9/11, if it's a gyroscopic type of mounted camera where it's going to be smooth. So even with a handheld, they're not going to get this weird type of bounce that they have. And you see that same characteristic in a lot of different scenes and a lot of the footage that they shot for that oil rig, and then you see it in the, of course, what we are shown as the oil rig in the Gulf. So, you know, they use things like that, and honestly, I do believe it was the same footage, not the same footage in the movie that you see in it. They just used different clips, of course, outtakes, B-roll and whatnot, but it's the same look and feel, same type of overall characteristics that we saw in the news media. So I wouldn't put it past them, because they'll do that. And like you said, it's just Hollywood. They've been corrupted since day one, since the studios were built, back when Disney was building their studios, and we see their family members investing in, you know, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and all the other studios at that time. And, of course, we know that Disney produced all the propaganda films for the World War II. And, of course, they used the Project Paperclip, and we see Wernher von Braun. Of course, who has a deal with Wernher von Braun about doing the video footage? Disney. You see video of Walt Disney and Wernher standing together, and they had a deal together to cover his stuff. So you see this Hollywood playing roles constantly when it comes to the manipulation of the people, and Disney being one of the biggest offenders that I've found so far.
Well, and you know, it's certainly, for those that are awake, it seems that the entire political spectrum and what you're going to see on TV is simply a part of the show that these, you know, totalitarian dungeon masters put on at these top levels. And it's almost like they tell us what they're going to do before they do it. You know what I mean? Like, for example, that Fukushima monstrosity, which is going to, you know, completely devastated so many people's lives and, you know, stuff like that that they put in these movies 4 years before it actually happens. So are you under the impression, I'm trying to figure this out. Are you saying that the Gulf oil spill did not happen or it did happen and they just used the same footage? And do you think that the Fukushima disaster was real? Do you also think that it was done by the powers that be?
Well, you're asking me to speculate on this, and again, I don't really like to speculate because I like to separate from what I'm going to say to you from the work that I've done when it comes to the ear analysis, because there's scientific stuff to back those things up, and we can get into those. But when it comes to my personal perspective of who and what we see that when it comes to the mainstream media that's real, I can't tell you 100% for sure either way when it comes to the Gulf of Mexico. Of course, we can. I've haven't been down there to see globs of oil coming up on the shore, but, you know, I have a hard time thinking that it didn't. So did they release oil out there or did something happen? I don't know. I can't tell you. But is it something that's past their ability to do? No, I think they totally could do that, and it's definitely within their realm of something that they would do. Whether or not it actually took place, I can't tell you. Now, Fukushima, again, here we go with the naming convention. You know, they use the name game all the time, and it's something that once you see that name game being played, you need to look at that event in a different light, because don't look at it as for what the event is. Look at it, take a step back and look at the whole scene of who's putting on this event, like the occupied, event. So when it comes to that Fukushima thing, was there an earthquake? Probably. Was the footage that we saw of it with the cars and everything, with the tidal wave coming in, the tsunami coming into the houses and all that, was that real? I've found several of them that are not legitimate, but it doesn't mean that it didn't happen or that the ones that I couldn't identify aren't. So, I think we see the same thing that happened with 9/11, where we see a real event when it came to a demolition of a building intermixed with Hollywood pre-shot green screen stuff that we can see, clearly see that there's actors and people right on the streets that are actors intermixed at the same time. So now that means to the people that aren't really cluing into what's going on here, is that means that there's a beforehand knowledge of that event taking place because they've already prepared all these things. So,
right.
Yeah, so that right there shows to me enough information that I can say that, you know, there's something that we need to, as a people, step up, and we need more information. We need the facts because we're not being told the truth.
I see. You know, it's really mind-boggling in so many levels, and I want to jump back to the connections you have made with your interpretation of the Oath Keepers and Sheriff Mack and Rhodes and his connection with, I think it was the Department of Homeland Security. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I think his official title is he's the Assistant Secretary to the something of the infrastructure. And basically what his job title, if you go to DHS.gov, you can see, search for just draw a blank right there. Todd Kyle, sorry. Todd Kyle is the person that you'll look up, and you'll see that that's Stuart Rhodes. Again, we see the naming convention there with Stuart E. Stuart Rhodes. He, the steward of Rhodes. And when you look at it in that aspect of it, and his job is to basically the infrastructure of the United States, then it sort of ties together where they're playing that game again. And his job is to, when there's an event, say the occupied event, or a national disaster or something, him and his team of risk assessors go out to that location, and they basically figure out, you know, what the threat level is, and that information is then taken back to Homeland Security, and they use that to base their budgets for the next year. So you see a dual role of him going around and instigating these, you know, stand up to these people who are stomping all over your civil liberties, and they're putting on this big show, when in fact this is a DHS, you know, assistant secretary, or we're told is assistant secretary, and they show it on their website as assistant secretary. I don't know if he is or not, but we're being shown by them that he is, so I'll take that for, you know, what it is. So we see him instigating these problems, and of course he's the same person that goes out and then does the evaluation of those problems. So, you know, when I looked at that, and then I saw that Jose Garena, the whole shooting thing was, of course, another Arizona Pima County production, you begin to see the patterns of the events. And then, of course, you have Quartzsite. The same actors are involved in that. and it's just over and over again, we see these same actors popping up, and the underlying theme of removing your civil liberties of your guns and your free speech. And we saw that with Occupy, too, with the free speech, where they were doing that drumming, and they were drumming outside of offices and all that, and trying to just irritate people enough to the point where people said, okay, well, they went to court, and they tried to get them to say, during a certain time, you can make noise, and then during a certain time, you can't. So right there, that's how they work. They small little advances against your civil liberties, and if you agree to it, well, that's great. You just agreed to it, so you're the problem. And they just keep on pushing and pushing and pushing. And that's one of the things that they did with Occupy that right there was a big red flag for me.
Well, you know, not only that phenomenon, when this that started happening, that Occupy Wall Street, she uncovered the real people that were pushing that agenda and the communistic agenda that they had behind it, you know. And it's even more, it's not just communism, it's more like a combination of
let me just correct you right there. 23, when it first came out, I was alerted that before Soros even came out, I was alerted that Soros was behind it, and I had told Jay and I had told Wonk about it, and Wonk did some digging, and then I moved on and I told Trin, and I guess he went and told SHR because form admins started putting out the threads. And when they put out the threads, everything was detailed with who was connected to who. And shortly after that, within a couple of weeks, you know, Dallas came out with his, and we started pinning his videos because his videos corroborated our threads, you know, our work.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's
let me make a comment on that real quick. Because of this recent work that I've been doing when it comes to the Roosevelts, I've done a lot of looking into the early 1900s. And here's something that sort of concerned me when it comes to the communist movement, that I see the same thing that happened back in those days. And I wanted to propose this as something that possibly you might want to look into, as the whole communist movement as being another one of those gambits that they're putting on to divide and conquer the people again. And the reason why I say that is, looking at Teddy Roosevelt, he had at his time a protester that was, I can't remember her first name, but the last name was Goldman. Emma Goldman, I believe it was. Yeah, Emma Goldman. She was a person, allegedly, that was from Russia, a communist, and she was the lead, basically the domestic terrorist of the time. And she was kicked out of the United States a couple times, if you look at the history of it. Well, she would rally people by the same slogans as you see with the Occupied event, you know, the same, and actually the same fist in the air, the same type of logos, and of course all that when it comes to the psychological aspect of it. But the slogans and the same arguments that she was making that time that they're making today. So I also see that his whole the way he countered that was, there was a thing called a Pinkerton raid. And that was I believe a governor at the time, or I can't remember if he was a sheriff or whatnot, but it was a district attorney, Palmer raids. And what they did was basically they used Palmer raids, and they would go into a person's house and drag them out if they thought that they were communists, and they would lock them up with, and no, you know, habeas corpus, nothing. And it's the same thing that you see them trying to threaten today. So when I saw that, I went, wow, I never heard of these Palmer raids. So I started looking into it more. Well, he used the communist movement, the red movement, or the red diaper babies, the whole slogans that went into it, to say that communism is attacking us and we need to do this, so we need to have more troops, we need to have this, we need... So basically, they created the enemy, and then, of course, the enemy that they created the attack, and then, of course, we offer the solution. So it's the same thing we see them happening today, and I want you to maybe take a look at that is another gambit that they're throwing at us and trying to get us to follow that as, yes, of course, it's Soros and it's, you know, Brzezinski and all these guys, when in fact that's the same little thing that they've been doing to throw out and confuse us to the real people that are behind it, and that's the international money brokers, basically, the barons that are behind that. And who they are, you know, we don't know. But we see these people that say they're the, you know, the Rothschilds and all that. And I honestly, if you were one of those people, if you were the big people, you wouldn't even take a chance of your name being out there. So I think everything that we've seen, everything that we've been shown is, of course, a straw man or a straw, you know, family. They're taking orders from the big people. So that's just my perspective of it.
Well, you know, I mean, as far as I was using the communism as just kind of a mindset that most people could wrap their mind around, but it's way beyond that. I absolutely agree. They use that divide and conquer tactic all the time. I mean, especially with these, you know, controls that they're getting with these nanotechnologies and tracking devices. And another thing, too, that I wanted to bring up is after this whole Occupy thing, they secretly, or not secretly, but passed this bill with most people paying attention to something else. It's called the anti-trespass bill, but it's really an anti-protest bill, which is very vague worded. It makes it sound like if you're picketing something, let's say you're picketing the D2 that's put on most of the crops around the world, which is basically a derivative of Agent Orange, and you block somebody that works for the county or for the city that's trying to go to lunch because they have to walk around you because you're protesting in front of their building or whatever, and they get back to work late, they clock in late, so they say it's your fault, then the SWAT team comes and arrests you. You can now get up to 10 years in prison for protesting. It's mind-boggling. And then, you know, before that, it was the NDAA bill to make it to where, you know, they classify all these individuals within our own soil here as domestic terrorists. You know, you, me, probably everybody in here has something that would classify them as a domestic terrorist. And they just continue to pass these bills, making it more and more difficult to have freedom of speech or, you know, freedom of assembly. Do you think that they also use this OWS movement to get people more susceptible or, you know, to saying, okay, yeah, these guys are just not doing any good, so I can clearly see why they've got this new bill that's passed where they can get up to 10 years? You know, I mean, isn't that just mind-boggling that you can get more time in prison now for picketing than for armed robbery?
Well, here's something again, you know, and this again is my opinion, you know, and I don't mean to disagree with what you're saying. Is I think a lot of the things that you're using as examples, I honestly, and I'll say here's an event that happened to me that I'll use this as something that you can evaluate. We had some problems here at the place where I live, and we had a lot of theft and break-ins and a lot of people doing some bad stuff in here. So we were on alert, basically. So there was a person sitting in the parking lot that was in his car that looked suspicious to me. Well, I pulled my car behind them, and I walked up to their window of the car, and I knocked on the window, and I said, could you, you know, were you here to see somebody? And I asked them the normal questions that you would, and I said, you know, can you identify yourself, basically? And they basically told me to go piss off, and I said, okay. Well, I'm going to call the cops. So I call the cops, and the cops never showed up. Well, apparently, I get a call about an hour later from the cops, and they said, did you have an altercation with somebody in a car out in the parking lot? I said, yeah, I did. And they said, well, that was a city inspector. And I said, well, there was no markings on the car. I said, you know, I asked for identification. And he said, well, he thought that you were basically going to rob him. So he, you know, and this long story short, basically they said, you can't do that. We could come and we could take you away for kidnapping because you totally stopped that man from being able to leave that spot. You blocked his car off, and that could be considered kidnapping. So with that type of law that's already in effect, why would they need to have any other laws when it comes to, you know, the protesting and all that, when basically if somebody is detained or somebody is forcibly stopped, you know, then you basically they already have the laws in place to arrest that person for that crime. So the things that I see, a lot of the stuff when it comes to the Monsanto stuff, the inspectors coming and taking the raw foods away from people, I've investigated several of those events so far and found them all to be actors. And a lot of them are the same actors in the same events. So my question would be then, you know, we hear all this stuff, we hear them say these things, and, you know, we see it on TV, we see the officials, we see the governors or whatever, the senators signing these bills. But when we look at it, I have a hard time finding the supportive evidence that backs up that real claim. Now, when it comes to the paperwork and the law, if what we see, you know, I believe that what I see on Thomas directories and things like that, that they're authentic because they're actual, you know, logging of the events that happened in Congress. But, you know, the perception that we have as a people is based on what we see on the TV. So, you know, that's why they could do the Patriot Act. So, yes, to answer your question, it's both ways. I agree with some parts you say, but then the other thing is, yes, they are using the media and everything to manipulate the people to agree with those and give away our civil liberties. So that was my whole point in the beginning is they don't take them away. They get us to agree to give them up, and that's a big, big problem.
Right, and then not only did they get people to give them up, but they also make people fear doing anything because they, you know, will use a particular scene where they bust somebody for, you know, doing something ridiculous, like, you know, you said these actors that have these raw milk farms that you think that now if you're going to consume raw milk, a SWAT team might break down your house. So it gets people scared into thinking not even to go down that path. And I can clearly see how they can use the media to manipulate people into fear or into accepting something and taking away liberties, you know, for security purposes, like the fake boogeyman threat with these, you know, people from caves that have magical plasma cutters that look like box cutters. But, I mean, let me ask you this. As far as Casey Anthony, you've made some interesting connections there. Could you explain to our audience the connections you've made with her?
Sure. Let me make one more comment about what you just said. When I first began this whole investigation and the Pima County Sheriff's Department came up as my lead people that I was going into, the lead people of interest, I was afraid at that time because I believed that what I'd seen on TV or what I'd heard from, you know, Alex Jones type of things were, you know, I feared for my life a little bit. And basically what I'm saying today is I think if I'm still walking here, and I'm the person that published the personal photographs of David Rockefeller Jr. on the beach with his grandkids at his beach house. If I'm still standing here, and the rest of his family actually lives, a lot of them live in Dallas here, just 15, maybe 10 miles away from here. If I'm still standing here, then, you know, I really don't think that you have anything to worry about. So when I disappear, if something happens to me, then start worrying. But, okay, when we go to the Casey Anthony stuff, when I started looking at that, of course, all the telltale signs were there. It just immediately I saw this thing as an act. And then when I found, of course, the Pima County books, if you download those books from Pima County Sheriffs, and then actually the new one just came out, which is pretty interesting because there's some new ones in there too. You can download the 08, 09, and 010. And now the 11, but the 08 one has the people from that were involved in the Casey Anthony trial. And you can go page by page through that book, and you can see the people in the trial that are also appearing as either corrections officers or deputy sheriffs, or as people getting awards at the end of the year that are citizens out in Arizona. And when you see the judge, and the judge has a large scar on his chin, something that they forgot to cover, or I guess I wasn't involved in that time where they thought that they had to cover it. But when you look at the picture, the photograph of the Pima County Sheriff, and you see the actor, you see the big same scar on his chin. That right there is solid proof that if you prove one of these individuals, I don't have to prove them all as actors, but I make the statement to people saying if one of them is one of these individuals that I'm saying, a Pima County Sheriff or an elected official, then it proves that whole entire event is a fraud. And that's all I say. You know, don't start off with investigating the ones that are sort of similar that you have a hard time with. Investigate the one that is a dead solid on match and prove that one wrong and then work your way back from that point on. And it saves your time. Because if you can't get past that one person, the judge, as being fake, then, you know, the whole thing is totally bogus. So, yeah, and then we see the same family members involved. And then we have a picture of, we see online of the little Kaylee in her grandfather's lap. Well, that's a video that you can get on YouTube. Well, of course, when I see that, I go, oh, I know that guy. He's actually, I believe he's either the brother or it looks to me now like it's Kenny Bloomberg's father, because we have photographs of the family pictures, and there is the guy, and you can clearly see it's the same guy that's in the video holding the little girl, and that's standing behind Kenny. So when you know that, then you look, who could this little girl be then? And you see that it's his niece. And that niece, of course, her mother is Annie Greenberg, married to Tony. She looks exactly like Casey Anthony. So what are the odds of all these people just happen to look like the individuals that are involved in this? And, of course, they're from Florida, right in the same area. And, you know, what are the odds of all these people just being lookalikes? And it's just, it's... you can't even imagine, you can't even calculate the odds of that when you see all the people that are involved and then see the same amount of people, the same for the one or a family member. So that's when, you know, I use that example to talk to people that really want to cherry pick and say, well, this person isn't, so definitely, you know, you must look, you're not seeing the whole fact of that association with all these people that are involved in it. And then that same, all those people were again in the family photographs. you can't tell me that that's just a weapon.
Got it. You know, I mean, and there are times I've seen people that look very similar to me in the same area. So, and there are those famous, you know, individuals or, you know, you've heard the doppelganger stories about Saddam had like four or five double. A lot of, you know, certain icons will as well. They'll have people that will do plastic surgery to look like them and stuff. Yeah, I mean, you're definitely onto some things here. And I agree with a lot of what you say. You know, some of the stuff I really have a difficult time seeing the facial connections and like you're saying, but I mean, let me ask you this too, Ben.
Can I address that real quick?
Go ahead, please. Absolutely.
You make very, very valid points, and that's something that definitely, you know, I have to deal with that all the time. So here's one thing that I want people to understand. When you look at the David Icke video that I did, when you see David Icke standing there, and we'll just say he's David Icke, and he's interviewing the one woman in the front, the first woman, and she looks like, of course, the granddaughter of Maurice Greenberg, Tony's sister. You see that same person in the 9/11 event. Okay, that's one person that looks like that person. And I say to you, yes, absolutely, yeah, there's plenty of people that look like that person. But then you see David Icke move on to the next interview, and you see that person looking like one of the members of the Jackass crew, and that's MTV's Jackass. Standing next to him is another person that looks like a member of Saturday Night Live, one of their personnel that works with Tony Greenberg's sister. And, you know, we know about Jennifer Greenberg, who is Sarah Palin, and all the other is Tina Fey. But so then he moves to another interview of another person that looks like another Jackass member, Ryan Dunn's grip. And standing next to him is another person that looks like Tony Greenberg, who is another Jackass member. And in the background, that same scene, in the center frame, you see a 3-foot-tall cop wearing a full uniform, exactly like the person, Wee Man, on Jackass. So when you put all those together, and then you see the final, one of the final scenes is he's talking in front of the one of the banks, whatever, and the person that walks by and that they do a weird little cameo thing is one of the graphic designers that's in the Pima County books. And then finally, this is one of the kickers that gets me. He's walking through the crowd with the camera, and it just so happens that the camera just pans the side. And here's a cop standing there, another about a 5-foot-tall cop. But he stands there and he looks right at the camera, and then the camera passes by. And that right there is Tony's uncle. That's Leon Greenberg. So you have all these people that if we were to say they're lookalikes, that would be an enormous amount of just – you couldn't even calculate the odds. And now here's the last one I don't want to say. When it comes to David Icke, why is David Icke's wife that's in his documentary – same person that plays Corky Ballas's or Mark Ballas's mother from Dancing with the Stars, and I've now exposed Corky as Dr. Len Horowitz. He's also John Walsh. So you see, when I put the videos up there and you see these people together, you go, "Oh, I can't believe I just didn't see that." But David Icke's wife, the person that plays his wife, is Corky Ballas's Shirley Ballas. And just pull up those videos, and you'll see. I mean, she's got an English accent. She's got the mole on the side of her face. I mean, it's mind-boggling. But they do this without you thinking that they're going to get caught, because there's no way that, unless I just told you those connections, and my connections come from because I found that one connection, that little girl, you know, the Christina Taylor Greene, and it all just spidered out from that point. If I didn't have that connection, I would have looked at that album as, oh, there's another person's, you know, web album, no big deal, and would have moved on. So it was that one domino that fell that it now branches out to where I can tell people, look, here's the connection. Here's the Greenberg family. Look, here's the family photographs. Look, all those people in that event are right here at this one party in Dallas. And then at that point, it blows away the lookalike, you know, the whole lookalike thing. So the only thing I wanted to say about that.
Let me ask you this. Back to Icke for a minute. The Icke now, do you think it's always been the same person, or do you think that he got close to the truth somewhere, so they put in a plant?
I really didn't see, and, you know, honestly, I'll be honest with you, I didn't look at that as in from that perspective, so I haven't looked at it. But I would say this. If that were the case, and somebody were to get too close to the truth, you know, I think I'm getting close to it enough where you're starting to see them counter with a lot of the psychological attacks, and, you know, they're getting all their people to just bash the boards and just try to bash. But, you know, it's not me as a person. I'm putting the facts out there as here you go, you know, evaluate this and, you know, look at it for yourself. So I'm not selling anything. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not undermining my credibility when it comes to that. But so when you look at Ike, and, you know, I'll have to look at it from that perspective to be able to say yes or no. But I would seriously doubt that it would be, you know, they would have changed somebody like that.
Look at Paul McCartney.
Well, the Paul McCartney thing, you bring up that's a good one, because I've had a lot of people ask me on that. So the investigation that I did with that, from my perspective, from the images that I've seen and the movies that I've seen, a lot of the changes that you see in the person can equate to the technology, either be the medium or the cameras used. And then here's the other thing that I want people to remember. They did do a lot of films. So when you're a famous person, you're not on set all the time, most of the time. I mean, they were Beatles, so they were touring, they were doing things. So chances of them having doubles, have lookalikes, is very high, because they need stand-ins to do this setup and get everything arranged when it comes to the lighting. And then all of a sudden, you know, then they call Paul McCartney to come out of the trailer or wherever he's at, and he goes in, does his 5 minutes of the shoot, and then he's off. So in order for, you know, there's a lot of possibilities that in order to create a media stir, the producers of that said film, you know, could have leaked some of those lookalikes to the public and said, look, you know, here's a lookalike, what's going on here, to stir up the people. That's a possibility. I'm not saying that's definitely what happened. But I'm
maybe
saying
use it to sell more albums. Kind of, they did that approach.
Well, look at every. I'd like to ask somebody, you know, to please give me an example. Show me a famous person that's died. One of these tragedies, you know, John Belushi and all that, and you know, Elvis included. We see these people now that this one guy, that Elvis person, and I don't remember his name because I looked into it briefly, but we can't see his ears, so I can't say positive. But that guy looks a lot like Elvis, and when you look at it from a perspective of if this was an actor, he's been acting and doing this role, well, you know what, it comes time where he's going to be 70 years old or what, 80 years old, you don't want to think of Elvis as that. So what do? You kill him off, you create a legend, now all of a sudden all his merchandise just skyrockets through the roof, and of course now you also have Elvis Alive that, you know, you can record, say, a tape of him talking in the studio and say, oh, here's a long lost album, so they can prolong that, you know, that legend. But, you know, it allows that character, that person, to then go back to their normal self and live a normal life, you know, with of course being rich and whatnot, that they've all the money they've created from it, but they have that ability, and we see that actors do this all the time. Now, when it comes to the use of the fake names and things like that for security reasons, I'm all, you know, that's fine. They can totally do that. My problem comes into when these actors take on these roles and then they use that fake name, they use being anonymous as a means of then being able to take that character and use it to push an agenda. That's when they cross that ethical line. And I love movies. I love actors. When they play movies, it's great. Love it. You know, there's a lot of skilled ones out there. Love it. But when it comes to that actor who decides to then take it to the next level and become a political activist or, you know, push agenda, and then all of a sudden then they can jump back into another role of themselves and hide out, you know, when it gets hot, that to me is a coward. If you can't put your real face on what you're doing, if you can't say that this is what I believe and I'm going to stand up and here's my real name, here I am, and that's what I'm doing, I can understand if you're afraid because, you know, you fear that they're going to come get you. Well, you know, and I went through that, and I'm saying that I strongly, from my perspective, I don't believe it, that they should do. And if they want to be a political activist, do it, but use your real name.
You know, that's a good point. If you're going to go out there and put yourself on the line and express your ideals, back it up with who you are. I can appreciate that. You know, let me jump to the Sheriff Joe for a minute. Joe Apollo, right? Or I'm sorry,
Arpaio.
Yeah. And the Obama eligibility, wag the dog, carrot at the end of the stick show that they're playing right now, where it seems like maybe they're, you know, the same people working for the same, or not the same people, but the individuals working for the same side are trying to make it look like they're fighting against each other. Could you give us some connections on that?
Sure, the Sheriff Joe Arpaio, that's a good one, because that one ties into where I'm from. I'm originally from Philadelphia, so and I don't know if you can tell by my accent, but you know, I've been living in Texas for long enough where I've lost a lot of that accent. But Sheriff Arpaio, now here we go with the name convention again. ARPAIO, AR, Arizona, PA, Pennsylvania, IO, Chicago Theater. Now, when you know that and you see it, and then you realize that, and being from Philadelphia, this one hit home because I listened to him and I went, you know, I recognize that voice somewhere. I know that voice. And I happened to be researching footage for like historical footage to put in the beginning of my video, and I came across the MOVE stuff. And if you're not from Philadelphia, you've probably never heard of it, but the MOVE people, Ramona Africa and all that. But at the time, there was the city, the mayor was Frank Rizzo of Philadelphia. And he used to be the police chief of Philadelphia, too. Well, Frank had this problem with these people that they named the MOVE people. And basically, it ended up where he basically had his people go in and bulldoze their front of their house, and they actually shot one of the members. So these people were real, real angry at Frank Rizzo, and he had to have security, and he had to have all these this entourage go around with him. Well, anyway, he was doing these just Nazi tactics, basically, and was just being hard-handed and heavy-handed and doing unlawful things. So all of a sudden he dies, and I believe it was 92, the same year that Sheriff Arpaio comes into existence. And we hear that Sheriff Arpaio is doing all these unlawful things too. Well, when I see that Sheriff Arpaio and I look at him and I hear that voice, I went, that's Frank Rizzo. So then I, of course, pull up Frank Rizzo's image and I look at him in the earshots. That's Frank Rizzo. So he killed himself off and then took the role out in Arizona. So the MOVE people after that, man, the person that they put in place was Mayor Wilson Good. He dropped a bomb on their house, and this is something that I can attest that that was a real event. I witnessed the news footage, but then I could go outside of my house and I could see the plume of smoke coming up from the whole buildings that were going on fire because they destroyed like 4 or 5 city blocks and like 62 homes. They dropped that bomb on it. It was an incendiary bomb from a helicopter, and you see it fly in, drop the bomb, and it just blew the whole roof up and burnt the place down, including everybody around them. And my mom lived real close to it, and she could see the flames. She saw the whole thing happen. So I can verify that that happened. And I would hope that people would look at that MOVE event and look at the individuals that the media then demonized. They made them look like idiots. But when you look at the raw footage of these independent investigators and independent reporters, there's a lot of footage that you'll see. These people were well-spoken, well-organized. They were driven, and they had a problem, and that was Frank Rizzo. And they were going to stand their ground, and they were very lawful in what they were doing, and they were just organized, and they were a big, big threat to the whole, you know, the whole law, basically Philadelphia when it came to the police force. And they were not going to stand down and let these corrupt ones walk all over them. And that was impressive because when I saw it from that perspective, I went, man, that is not the MOVE people that we were shown on TV. That is not the perspective that we as Philadelphians thought of the MOVE people. We thought them as dirty, Rastafarian looking, just stinky, and that's the picture that they painted of them online, on TV and the news. But that's not the case. So I can say that that type of event, it really instills the whole media being used to manipulate your perception of reality, and then therefore that reality is something that we as people use as our foundation to make judgment and make our decisions on. So they've effectively eroded away our common sense, and that's the problem that I have.
Dallas, I got a question for you here in regards to Sheriff Joe. Why is it that he's getting away with what he's getting, and Breitbart is, you know, we deem it assassinated. What are your thoughts on this? Why'd they get rid of Breitbart if he really is, you know, sleeping with the fishes?
Well, when I went to the Dallas Occupied event, and like I said, I caught a lot of these actors, a lot of these individuals playing roles down there. And one of the individuals, and I'll post all the photographs and all the videos, one of the individuals was Breitbart, and you can clearly see it's him. He's looked right at the camera, and I take his picture and whatnot. I have video of him, and I also have stills of him. Well, also there is Gary Johnson, and standing next to the person that's Gary Johnson, there's a guy standing there with a rock in his hand, and he's looking right at me, and he's giving me a nasty look too. Gary Johnson shot me this real nasty look. So when I looked at who that person was, I have a photograph of Sheriff Joe Arpaio in his car, sitting there next to a person that is the same person that was at that Occupied event. Well, it turns out that that person is Gary Johnson's brother, and I have photographs of them together at Rockefeller's beach house that I didn't even connect those together until finally the Frank Rizzo and everything took place. So my point of it is the reason why he's not being held accountable is probably because he's not a real sheriff. He's told to us that he's a real sheriff, and we believe that he is, but in actuality, is he the lawful sheriff? I don't know, and I'm saying that, you know, I find it hard to believe that an honest law enforcement personnel, and there are a lot of them, there are more good ones than there are bad ones, but it's just the bad ones that cause the problem. Those men and women that walk that fine blue line, you know, they're the people that I respect, and I'm hoping that they can take this information that I have and they can use it to stop those corrupt ones from doing what they do. Because if I'm right with what I'm saying, that means there's a lot of honest ones that are sitting there going, you know, I can't believe that I can't speak up because I'm going to lose my job. I mean, you know, I got to have my job and my family. And I understand that that's the problem that they have. But
I couldn't even get him to come here. I couldn't even get him to come here. I've been trying to reach him, get contact info. If you call his office, it goes right to voicemail, no returns. He would only go on certain media outlets. So I knew something was up 2 years ago when I tried to get him here.
Yeah, you know, that's some more evidence that, you know, just added to the mound that we have. And that same thing happens when it comes to trying to talk to Sheriff Dubnyk. And again, here we go with the naming convention, Sheriff Dubnyk. So, you know, are these people legitimate holders of that seat, that's an elected seat? And my common sense would tell me that, you know, the things that they're doing, no, they're not the legitimate holder of that position. But then who is? That's where my mind goes, I can't, what's going on here? I went out to Arizona. I saw that there are sheriffs out there. I know they exist. And I got tailed around by a bunch of them, and I got tailed around by people that have now I've seen in footage that wear FBI uniforms. So I know that there's agencies out there that are aware of this, that are allowing this to happen. That's where I have my problem with, because I want to support the ones that are totally, that have the good intention and the good hearts and are trying to do the right thing for us to protect us from, yeah, there's thieves out there and there's murderers out there, absolutely. But, you know, it's those corrupt ones that then create this environment, that hostile environment, that the good ones have to now, you know, confront or talk to people that think that they're out to, you know, they're going to come drag them out of their house, or they're going to come, you know, arrest them for doing stupid things, reading the Constitution, when it's not that case, when the majority of them are very respectful people and they're there to do a job to help you out and be, you know, that part of the community. So that's where I have a huge problem, where these corrupt ones are creating this perception that causes the good ones to be in more harm and more danger than they need to be, or than that is a reality. And, of course, that goes both ways, where us as the people that are being fooled, we, you know, normally, when we have common sense, we act out in a rational way. Well, there's a lot of people that aren't so rational. And, you know, if I'm one of these people are going to do something stupid, and they're going to jump all over it and use that as an example, because that'll be the first real one that they can use as to say, see, there are terrorists here in the United States. So, you know, it's a very tough thing. I can't tell you for yes or no that he's real or not, but all the evidence that I've been able to collect points to that he's an actor as well.
Got it. What about Ben Fulford?
Yeah, Ben Full of Shit Fulford, yeah. Ben, all right. Well, you know, just recently they had the Son of Sam story about him. And when they showed the picture of the Son of Sam, the original picture, I didn't see it. I didn't make the connection. But then they showed a picture that they're saying is, you know, the current, you know, a more recent photograph of him, and that's Leon Greenberg. Well, Leon Greenberg being one of the family members in the photographs that I have. You know, I have hundreds of photographs of him and his family and all of them together, family, you know, meetings and family vacations. So, you know, I have a good range of photographs to look at, a good range of ear shots to look at. And when you look at Fulford, he has some a lot. You know, he makes a lot of videos that he releases over in Asia markets. A lot of them. I mean, he has a ton of them. So fortunately, a friend of mine sent me some of the footage of one of these videos, and it was good high definition footage. So I had a real good shot of him. And because you really can't tell from the YouTube really low grade footage of him, and the other ones were the one where it is a high definition, he's sitting so far away from the camera on the couch that you can't get the good image of the ear. So he's been able to, it's been difficult. So when I got this high definition footage and I could match it up and prove that, yes, this person is Leo Greenberg, when you see Leon and you see that he's associated with a actors guild out in Arizona, and within that guild you see a child that's missing, you see Mayor Bloomberg, a headshot of an actor from that area that looks exactly like Bloomberg, and then you see all these other individuals in there that are playing media roles, and the one that Fulford, his, well, Leon's alternate, his acting, his stage name is, I can't remember, it's lost at the top of my head, but Fullard, yeah, that's his last name, Fullard. When you look at that headshot that he has out there and you put them side by side, you can see the similarities. Now, with the high-definition footage, you can see there's blemishes on his nose, there's all these different spots on his face that you can see that we couldn't before, so we can positively identify him as being, of course, Leon. And one of the other things, just common sense, you know, people, when I can't believe people actually believe what he's saying. I saw some footage of him the other day, it made me laugh. He's talking about ninjas and all this just crazy stuff. If people don't realize, do your research on this. Ninjas were created in 1970 or 1969 by Hollywood. There's no such thing as a ninja. It's a Hollywood creation. So when you see this person using a ninja as, you know, they're going to come get him or whatnot, it's so funny to me. And I can't believe that people don't see that how just a cartoonish this guy is. But apparently, you know, and I don't want to put people down for believing in it. You know, I just hope people can take the evidence that I've done and look at it and all of a sudden break away from that bond that whatever it is that he has them under, you know, that make them think that he's legitimate, but he's not.
Dallas, I got to tell you, the fluoride and these, you know, high-definition mind control tactics that they use on the populace has really done a good job keeping people in the dark, man. I just want to ask you one more question, and then I'm going to turn the mic over to Osiris for guest questions. I'm sure you saw that video on YouTube that had some connections of, Osama bin Laden, the famous, he's probably one of the most famous actors of them all, you know, so many different doppelgangers, and one of his one of his press releases that was supposedly Osama bin Laden, they did some facial recognition, and he looks very, very similar to the chief of staff, Obama. And there's the ear connections and some similarities there. And another thing that if you do a little bit more homework, you'll see is if you look at the bumper sticker for the presidential campaign of 2008, it was Obama Biden, and Osama bin Laden is almost exactly the same, minus a couple of letters there, and it's even in the same order. So is this just another one of their ways to kind of throw it in our face that, hey, look, the supposed boogeyman that started this entire global war, at least what we went into war for supposedly, is actually the person that controls your country?
Well, Osama and Obama, the only thing that's different between the names is BS. So, you know, the whole thing is BS. But, you know, we see what they let us see, what they want us to see. So if they didn't want us to see these things, they wouldn't put it out there. Now, by me finding those family photographs, that's something they slipped up and big time made a big mistake with that, because that opened the door, the whole floodgate, the whole thing. So, but with the mainstream media, what they show us, that's what they want us to see. And it's just like, I'm very critical of Alex Jones, because even in his own words, he says he uses their words against them. And he pounds the desk and shows a stack of faxes and press releases from the corporations and from, you know, Obama and from all these people. And he reads that press release. Well, that press release, if you've worked in corporate like I have, you know, I worked at Halliburton for a year. More than Halliburton, it was LGC, Landmark Graphics. But that was my first corporate job when I was 24 years old. I worked there for a year in web development, and I was basically the web manager. And, you know, I know the hoops that you have to jump through to get something published or to get something printed as collateral when it comes to a corporation, and a huge corporation even more so. So by him using faxes or by him using press releases from those corporations, he's being a mouthpiece for exactly what they want you to know, exactly what they want you to manipulate you with. And you brought up the fluoride thing, and this goes in with the chemtrail issue as well. I took the position on the chemtrail thing as I want to get some hard evidence. So that's why I did the HARC project, where I want to get some samples from the air, and I developed a product to do that, and I'm not going to pitch it here, so, you know, they can go to my website and see it. But anyway, I wanted to get some hard evidence, some hard facts. When it comes to the fluoride issue, I wanted to get some hard facts on that, and I didn't want to use the fluoride testing kits that you have to send in to the company to get evaluated, because what's that? I mean, the same company that sends you the kit is going to evaluate it and tell you, you know, no, you or yes, you don't have this and whatever. It's totally, it's not authentic and not genuine when it comes to hard scientific facts. So I would offer to anybody out there that can contact me with something that we can actually set up and test the water. I want to test the water, but I can't find anything around that will test for the fluoride, because I want to get something documented that we can actually see that that stuff is in the water. Because, you know, we see people like Bush, what's his name? I can't remember his name, but in Austin, he's always talking to the council members, and they're always bringing up the fluoride issues, and they make very valid points, but the city council doesn't do anything. So again, like the Sheriff Arpaio situation, where they can do all these wrong things and these unlawful things, but nothing ever happens, that starts to undermine my thought that maybe this is another scam to piss people off, to make people, you know, outraged, and to do the same thing again, separate the people that believe fluoride and the water people that don't, and then the one side calls the other crazy, and it's just all this whole big gambit of just pitting people against each other and causing conflict and fear. So, you know, that's the part that I want to say about that. When it comes to Obama, the facts that I have, we have palm prints, we have the teeth, because you can see the teeth beyond the beard, so that's helpful. The teeth match, the palm prints match, the ears match, and also there are blemishes on the face that match. So from that, I can say that, yes, that is the actor that plays him. But here's one thing that I want you people to really think about, and this, I was talking to Phenomenon about this earlier. I wanted to make the new drinking game, and that drinking game is the Michelle Obama, Regina King drinking game, because everywhere you see Michelle Obama appear in photographs, almost everywhere, outside, when it comes to fitness things or when it comes to you're visiting a school, you will see a person that looks exactly like Regina King's son. Now, Regina King, if you don't know, she's an actress that she looks an awful lot like Michelle Obama. And the only thing that's different is basically her teeth, because Michelle Obama is wearing, in my opinion, veneers like a lot of actors do. You can see her playing with them with her tongue a lot of times, and it pushes her lips out and makes them look bigger like that that Regina King doesn't have. But everything else in Regina King is exactly the same. Plus, like I said, her son. So why is Regina King's son in all these images online? Just go Google Michelle Obama visits and go to the images, and it's like almost every other or every third image that you see of her at a school, and, you know, or there's a situation where kids of that age could be involved, there he is in the background. So we have actors involved in this all the way around, and that right there just tells me that, okay, if the First Lady is an actor, then, of course, what does that mean about the President?
Too bad you don't have ass recognition. She's got one hell of an ass.
Yeah, well, there's implants for that, and there's also, you know, the booty lifters.
Nice. I'm going to turn the mic over to Fenn now.
Yeah, we just have one mic question here. Just a moment. Mermaids, you want to mic up a question to our guest?
Yes, hello. Can you hear me? Okay, so you can hear me?
Okay, we got you now. Go ahead.
Okay. Hello, Ed.
Hello, how are you? Oh, thank you.
Since I found your videos a few months ago, they have opened my eyes a great deal to the possibilities of current and past social manipulation. But to get to the point, I've actually found an interesting character myself. I believe New Jersey Governor Chris Christie to be the actor named Stephen R. Shapira, who is most known for playing the character Bobby Bacala from the hit HBO TV series The Sopranos. I've also done my own personal ear analysis.
You got cut off.
I can finish him because I know exactly what he's going to say. Because I believe this is the person that posted the comment, the question to ask me about Governor Christie, and the actor that plays in The Sopranos on your website. And I had about 2 hours before the show when I saw that, so I went out and I grabbed some pictures of Christie and of basically the actor that plays in The Sopranos. I will confer with what he's just said. Yes, he is the same actor, and I will go even further than that. He is actually the same actor that played in the same documentary that I mentioned before called Boatlift 9/11. He plays one of the characters in that as well. But in that event, he also, on the shores during the newscaster, he plays another character that is basically a witness to the buildings falling down. But when you look at the ears on him, they don't match the same person. That's because he's using prosthetics on the outsides of his ear, and I hit on the movie. So be very careful with that. But yes, I will absolutely say I back up what you're saying. That is the same actor, and that's as far as I went into the investigation with him.
All right, thanks a lot, Dallas. Osiris, move to text questions, please.
All right. Thank you. And thanks so far for the show, man. It's been an awesome show. There's a lot of talk and chat about what you're talking about. So it's been killer. But yeah, you did cover the Christie question. So, Abby wants to know, how do you trace the link of the Greenbergs and the other actors to the Elite in the NWO?
Well, there's one event, one album that we have that actually Liz Harmon, and Liz, if you don't know, when Liz is the actor, well, she's a real person that plays Jill Rappaport for the Today Show. And here we can see an example of how they manipulate the perception of people. When it comes to Jill Rappaport, you see her as having a ex-husband, and they're in this feud between each other as their divorce and this property that they have in the Hamptons, whatnot, blah, blah, blah. Well, when you see the real person, Jill, when you see Liz Harmon, and you know that she has a husband and she's been married for 12 years, and you can see that here's her kids, and you see at one of her kids' bar mitzvahs, you see a group of individuals, a very large group of people that showed up, and it was actually in Dallas here. She posted these photographs to her Picasa Web album that I found after I found all the other ones. And after all the other people had shut their albums down, she posted this one up there for some reason. So I guess she didn't get the memo from the home office. But inside that, there's 350-some-odd photographs. And in there, you will see people like Warren Buffett. You will see Ross Perot. You will see many of the individuals that I've talked about. You'll see, what's his name from Facebook, the kid, whatever his name is. You see him and his brother and his parents, and you find out that they're family members. You see Morning Mayan, the character on YouTube, who is actually a family member, and the person that she's actually married to is a person that plays Max Kaiser, which I like Max. You know, it sort of kills me that he's part of this, but here I have footage of him, and I have all the photographs of him and Morning Maya out on a yacht in a private jet that they took with Jill Harmon, Liz Harmon and her husband. And, you know, you see these people together, and here's all their family photographs, and you know that now that family is linked. Well, and everybody else that's involved in that party, I mean, they're all actors, and you'll see time and time again that same party members are the ones that are appearing in these events, even up to the point where the daughter of Liz is Riley, and that's the person they were having at bar mitzvah before. She is the person that just played the most recent East Side Madam, and that was her first big debut. And you can clearly see from the photographs that the East Side Madam is Riley Harmon. So you see the same type of actors being used to manipulate the masses being handed down and passed on to the children, and they're being trained to do the same thing that their parents were. So it's been handed down from generation to generation. But that one family event really is the telltale, the whole big scene of what's going on here, because there's so many individuals in that it's mind-boggling when you see them all together.
Awesome, thank you. We also had another question here from Flat, and basically he's saying that people aren't stupid, not all of them. So how is this not noticed by others? And, you know, if there is an effort to silence people beyond YouTube, then more or less, how is this chat happening? I mean, I know you've probably been asked this dozens of times. You know, how do you essentially get away with it if we know that these people like to silence people when they actually speak the truth?
Well, we don't know that they've actually been silencing people, but we do know that I can say from personal experience that my website's been taken down, and then that just came back up the next day after we fought about it, and my YouTube stuff got taken out, 240 videos, and I had over almost 10,000 subscriptions and over 2 million views, and that got taken out, and that was Linda West, who was Morning Mayan, who did it, because there's the complaint. That same person did the complaint when I moved all the videos over to Vimeo, and they took it down, but then I fought again the same argument that I had with the YouTube people, but they put it back up for a little bit, then took it down again. So, you know, there is that type of lawful, you know, their rights type of deal where they do make the complaints and people are silenced that way. But the other way that people are silenced is the fact that they just don't report on it. The media won't touch it. And that is because the media is involved in this. They are absolutely 100% involved and they know this. So you never hear about those people. And unless you have the internet, which this is the fortunate thing that we have, that we can communicate on a global scale, this is the only way that we have to communicate that really, it still is censored, because, you know, you don't see people from the Middle East looking at the 9/11 stuff here, which you would think they would flood those sites, you know, trying to find out what's going on. You don't see it because there's ways that they filter it out. You have the, you know, the search engine type of just non-listing the people. So that you, and then you only know about the website by if you find it through a friend or giving you URLs type of deal. So there's all these different ways that they can silence or keep people, you know, suppressed. When it comes to killing somebody or going that, that's what I'm saying. I don't believe that ever happens. They have so many other routes that they can take to discredit somebody, and they use it. Now, fortunately for me, I don't have any family that they can use against me. I don't have any kids, because if I had kids, I might not be doing what I'm doing. And, you know, honestly, I'd be honest with you. I don't think I'd be doing it if I had kids, because I'd be afraid for their safety. But for me right now, it's just me. So I'm standing up and saying what I believe in and what I know. Here are the facts, and I'm giving it out to people for free. So I'm not trying to sell them anything. I'm not trying to convince them to buy anything. It's for them to look at, to evaluate, to use for their own whatever. And so therefore, they can then make better decisions for themselves. Now, why haven't people seen this before? Well, I think people have seen it before. I mean, we brought up the Paul McCartney thing. We've brought up, you know, the Elvis thing. So basically, what about the person Elvis? What about, what if these people did see that person, that actor, and of course they're just made to ridiculed and look stupid, and they're all over the, you know, news as these people are crazy, or these people are truthers, or these people are birthers. That's the way they manipulate people into being, you know, not wanting to come forthright and say what they want, because they're just basically going to get ridiculed. And that perception of a conspiracy theorist is what that they have basically installed in people's mindset, where anybody that says anything conspiracy, they get ridiculed. When in actuality, if you look at what a conspiracy theorist is, if that person is right on one aspect of what they're saying, then that means that people, whatever their story may be, there's people getting hurt because of officials overstepping their legal bounds. So those conspiracy theorists need to be held up, and they need to be pushed forward and said, you know what, I don't agree with what that person says, but he has some questions that need to be answered, and until we get those questions answered, you know, we're here and we're going to back him up, and we're going to make sure his freedom of speech is respected. So, you know, the crazier that a conspiracy might be, well, then obviously the easier it would be to debunk. So you have all these things that we've been conditioned into really just degrading people that ask questions when we should be supporting those people that ask questions, but also be remaining that we have the fact that we have common sense, and when we do see things that don't make sense, to speak up and say something about it. So, you know, I don't know why people haven't seen it. Maybe they have, like I said, and just maybe we don't know about them, because there might be a million people out there just like me, but I happen to find that one, those family albums. So that's something that's so special, and I put it out there for everybody else to see too. So it's not like I'm holding on to it. Here's only a couple of them. I put it out there for everyone to see. So, and of course they've taken their sites down, but we have backups. So, you know, it's really, you can see their actions are basically speak louder than, you know, what's going on. So that's my only, I guess, my comment that I would say to them.
Right, right. And you know, it also, like you said, I mean, it becomes difficult when you start putting information out, because people do want to ridicule you, and people do, you know, put yourself out in the spotlight. So again,
well,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, yeah, exactly what you just said is spot on. And if I didn't have those family photographs, if I didn't have that over 5,500 photographs to say, look, here you go, look at it. If I didn't have that, it would be me saying that all I had was the Pima County Sheriff's booklet and people that looked alike in that booklet. And you could match the ears up, and you could get as far as that. And you could make some statements and say, you know, this person is that person, that's an actor out there in Pima County, you know, what's going on? And that's about as far as you could really get by saying that, you know, fact. But by finding that family album, man, it blew the doors off of the whole thing, because now we have multiple photographs of these people in their normal atmosphere, their normal lives with their kids around them. And you can see that, you know, this Tony Greenberg is a guy that we see all over the news playing all these different people. And so, and then we see, of course, the big one was finding the David Rockefeller Jr. photographs of him sitting on the floor with like 13, 14, 15 of his grandkids. And one of those grandkids is the one that they used in as the brother of the Christina Taylor Green, the little Dallas Green kid. I mean, so you see that and you're like, wow, all these different, you know, connections. But, you know, that's that guy's personal family. You know, whether or not he's an actor, whether or not Rockefeller is one of those, again, one of those actors, I think he is one of those actors, because I think it's much bigger than even him. And I think that they're basically those straw families being put out there, like the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers that we all focus on. When I've traced it now back to the Teddy Roosevelt, and really seriously, Teddy's brother was the one that played J.P. Morgan. So you see Teddy Roosevelt going up against his brother, but not telling everybody it's his brother. And his brother could actually be Taft, too, the next president that Teddy himself handpicked and put in as to replace him. So you see manipulation back in those days that really show that there's bigger people involved when it comes to the money schemes, that those policies that were put in place back then are the same policies like the Federal Reserve, of course, who's involved in that? J.P. Morgan, we're told. And, you know, you see these people now, you can trace it back, we can see it in history. Now, are they all, you know, actors? We don't know, but at least we can trace it back to that far and say that this is definitely where it's coming from and trace it to the actors today.
Right, definitely. And this kind of actually leads into the next question. And this is sort of a broad question, but I kind of want to rephrase it. And that Noam actually was wanting to know, you know, what your views are between, say, the borders of people and the community and how democracy is involved. And so we know that, you know, our version of democracy, this level of, quote, democracy that's put out to us, of course, is, you know, it's puppets on strings. I mean, it's a show. But I want to rephrase it as, I mean, what ultimately do you think is, and I know that, again, this is kind of getting into speculation and things like that, but just your personal opinion, I mean, how do you think that we're going to move forward in this? I mean, how do you think that we are actually going to, you know, is there going to be some sort of awakening, or do you think that people are slowly awakening? But, I mean, what ultimately do you see coming of all this, and how can we possibly get a true democracy?
Really good question, and really good. Man, that's a big one. Well, here's what I would say. If I wasn't here, and what I found, all the evidence and the information that I put out there wasn't here, and we were still marching down the same path that they had been manipulating us for since forever, the awakening that they were planning, I think, would have taken place, and, you know, who knows, whatever, you know, would it be another 9/11? Would it be the faked, what we've heard, the alien invasion? I don't know. You know, these are all just theories. Would it be, you know, the martial law thing? I don't know. But from the evidence that we can see, they're definitely trying to make strides to take away freedom of speech and the weapons. So that would be something that I think they were marching towards. But I think the awakening that's going to happen now is going to be individuals that are like-minded with what I'm saying here, and that actually can prove even more so by, say, a federal judge and pulling some of these individuals into courts. And, you know, there's going to be a point where these actors are not going to be able to do what they do and get away with it, because there's so many people that are waking up every day and taking what I call the emotional roller coaster ride. Is, you know, you're totally in denial at first, and then all of a sudden, you know, one of these stories that I'm putting out there to these people clicks and clues into you, and you can say, oh, wait, that relates to me. So they pay particular attention to it, and that one story then opens their eyes and takes the blinders off, and then they go into that roller coaster ride where they get angry and just, I can't believe we've been lied to, and you just get really depressed. And then at the bottom of that depression and just, I can't believe this is happening, you all of a sudden you hit that bottom where the weight is then lifted off your shoulders, and you realize that the world is a much better place than they've tricked us into believing. And at that point, you just get this rush of energy of, like, you want to tell people about it, and you want them to know that this is an actor. Look, they're tricking you. Don't fall for it. So I think the progression into the future that they wanted is not going to happen. I honestly, truly think that we've really put a total stop to a lot of the things, and now it's getting silly, some of the things that it's doing, and it's so outrageously silly that I don't think they're going to be able to recover from it. So I think the progression will be that we as a people will realize what the problem is when it comes to those liars and the media, and we'll do something about that, either be, you know, get rid of the, totally just wipe out the TV networks and just put some laws in, or make some, you know, put the stops and gaps, stops and balances in there where you can check and make sure that there's, you know, independent investigators that are actually not appointed by the government officials to keep an eye on these people, these oversight people. So the common sense, you know, if you want to look at, and this is being all honest, the term anarchy, an anarchist, if you actually look at that term, we've been really, it's been conditioned that term anarchy means, you know, just craziness and just unlawfulness and just everybody's going crazy. Well, yeah, it could mean that, but actually what anarchy means is liberty. It means that you as a person have no government official telling you what to do, but at the same time, in order for that to work, you as a person have to be responsible enough to accept that responsibility. And my whole opinion about religion and all the things that correspond with that is the one rule, I don't care what religion you are, but just the one rule that you have to respect is do unto others. And if you can accept that role and whatever else you know, on top of that, whoever sits at the top of your totem pole, I don't care who that is, just as long as you respect that one rule, then we as a people can get along, because you would be dealing with people with respect. So, but honestly, this isn't a perfect world. I know it's not a utopia, and I'm not saying that it could be ever, because we've been so conditioned that who knows if we'll ever be able to you know, it may take a couple generations, 100 years or so, to come out from this whole cloud that's been over us that makes us just paranoid and just crazy about they're coming to get us. But, you know, and I really, really think that that's been halted. They've been seriously been stopped for their progression. And I think that we as a people, we do have good in us. We are decent, common people. And we are going to be able to, you know, live our lives and have prosperous lives without their control anymore, as long as we realize that control was there. That's the whole thing, is realizing that what it is that was making you do this, or what it is that's making you, you know, be afraid of that is not real. And then you can be a real human. We can actually grow as a human society and be giving to other people and helping other people out in the right way, in the right sense, and not have this just total imaginary boogeyman chasing us all the time. So I would say I hope for the best. And I really do think that we as a people are going to really see the truth very shortly. But it's not going to be the truth that they wanted us to see.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree. Especially, you know, I'm glad you clarified about the definition of anarchy, because that is one definition that has been turned around and made into a very negative and sort of that it represents chaos only. And you are 100% correct about the definition that you gave. So I do definitely appreciate that. And also, you know, I agree. I think there's going to have to be something that maybe happens that does wake people up. But still, yes, you know, it's going to be people that understand that they're also contributing to their own demise to a degree by supporting a lot of this and supporting the corporations. And, you know, it gets into an element of people are going to maybe have to suffer a little bit. And that's something that a lot of people have a hard time with. But I do have a few more questions, actually. What do you think of Alex Jones? A lot of people here, we know about Alex Jones. You know, we think that Alex Jones is sort of out there for a lot of disinfo, but nonetheless, what do you think, and do you also think that he may or may not be Bill Hicks?
Well, about Alex Jones, I was on, when I started this investigation, I was basically, I did the Truth or Girls show as the first one, and we discussed the, when I believed at that time, was the, of course, the mugshot of Jared Loughner was faked. It was photoshopped. And I went on her show, and then come to find out that she is, you know, part of this whole situation was just mind-blowing in itself. But, you know, so at that point, somebody contacted me and wanted to put me in touch with Joyce Riley. So I went on her show, and Joyce is on the same network as Alex. So Joyce funded me to go out to Arizona and do, you know, put my feet on the pavement and get some, you know, facts, find out what's going on out there, and just get some real good stuff. And I was investigating it and found out about the Pima stuff and the Pima books and was a regular on her show. Well, all of a sudden when it branched out, when I found those photographs and it branched out into, oh, here's the people really behind the whole scenes, that she tried to get me to, she said, well, why don't you stick with, you know, there's just the Pima County stuff and Gabriel Gifford's event, and, you know, everybody likes that when you talk about that, and, you know, you got facts, you got the photographs, everything is really spot on, and we can get some things done. And I told her, I said, Joyce, I can't control where this goes. I'm not going to be a gatekeeper. Wherever it goes, no matter what I uncover, even if it hurts, I got to put it out there for people. And the Ron Paul stuff was stuff that hurt, because I was a big supporter of Ron Paul. I really totally believed that, you know, that was going to be the thing that, you know, I didn't put all my eggs in the basket, because, you know, just can't do that. But I really thought that was going to be some change for the good. And then when I found out that the information, it just blew my mind and it hurt, but I had to put it out there for people to get at least some information that they can do their own investigation and make up their own mind. But so when I saw that Joyce was trying to manipulate me, and at that time I said, well, you know, why don't we, can we get a hold of Alex? And, you know, and she knows Alex, and, you know, so she tried to contact him, and I've tried to contact him many times, and my ex-business partner with the Kennedy assassination books, Robert Groden, has been on a show many times. So we were trying to contact him with just the Gabriel Gifford stuff, just, you know, because he was saying that Jared Loughner was a drug-crazed maniac and all these other things that the official stories are trying to say, when Jared Loughner doesn't exist. And I have factual proof that I can prove it to you because of the victim's compensation fund, that if they're arrested for basically committing a violent crime, that attorney has to file a lien on that person when they get to jail to compensate for the victim's compensation in Arizona. Well, if there's no lien, that person doesn't exist. It's a mandatory, automatic thing that happens when you're arrested in Arizona for a violent crime. So, and you can download it from their government documents, from their webpage. It's the Arizona Victims Compensation Fund, and it outlines the whole thing. So right there, I got some facts to show that this person doesn't exist, along with all the other facts we have, but Alex wouldn't touch it. So I reserved my comment about Alex because I wanted to remain, you know, open-minded about what's going on. But then when I found that Aaron Dykes, one of his producers, I come across a photograph of Aaron alongside of one of these people that is from Arizona that is involved directly with the production company out there, Radiant Helix Media, standing right there arm-in-arm together, laughing and joking. I then made a video and said, Alex, you know, either you're being duped or your staff is part of this. You need to address this. And I said, and at that point, that's why I still draw the line. I didn't want to make my comments known. So then he didn't respond, and people started calling his show at that time and saying, hey, what about World War One? What about Dallas Goldberg? And he would act like he didn't know it, and he would hang up on him. And it was really funny. I mean, it was just to hear him, he gets very frustrated, and you can tell it. It totally shakes him a little bit when somebody calls up and says that to him. It's a legitimate question. He needs to be addressing that. And I'm not saying I need to be going on a show, but what I'm saying is the information that I presented, he should at least address that and say yes or no, or retract some of his statements and be honest with his audience and let them make up their own mind. Well, he hasn't, and he won't do it. So then the next event that I saw Aaron Dykes at was the staged, which they already told us in the media was going to happen, a staged Homeland Security drill out in Denver at a mall. And here you go. You see Alex and his troops out there, and you know they're taking video and they're interviewing the officials. And right here's Aaron Dykes again. He's interviewing some of the officials. It's the same officials that were in Pima County, and now they're saying that they're Homeland Security, and it's just, and one of the guys happens to be the actor that plays Bradley Manning's father. So at that point, I go, okay, Alex knows his staffers are being either duped or what's going on here. You need to address this now, because now it's to the point where you need to address this, or you're going to lose all credibility if you ever had any to begin with, because at this point now, I have to make my statement about him and say, you know, by non-acting on this, by non-addressing those facts, you discredit yourself. And then when I investigated even further, that's when I found out Kevin Booth. Now, Kevin Booth, you mentioned Hicks. Kevin Booth, when you look at it, Kevin owned he still owns the production company that basically offers like Joe Rogan's tapes and a bunch of other people's tapes for sale. Now, I like Joe Rogan. I thought Joe Rogan was a good guy, but, you know, I have to now look at it differently because come to find out that Booth, who happened to be Bill Hicks's cameraman and producer at the time, back in those days, is still Alex's cameraman now, but he's his agent, his producer, and all that stuff. And then come to find out that he looks an awful lot like Trey Parker from the makers of South Park. So I did an ear analysis of that. That's Trey Parker. So when you see that tie-in with this whole group being involved in this, you have to look and say, okay, well, since he's still not suing me, he's not even addressed it, he's doing the same game that the mainstream media does, where they ignore you and hope that you just fade away. Because if they address you, then that means they have to address the facts, which they don't want to do, and that means it brings attention to your work, which the mainstream media tried to discredit me by the Times, by Mark Lacey doing an article, a hit piece on me, didn't even interview me, he just put out this piece, and it was just a scathing this article, and it backfired because the crazier they tried to make me look, the more people would come to the site and look and see for themselves. And the more people were saying, this guy's got something here. I might not agree with everything he says, but there's something here that's definitely not right, and we need to look into this. So at that point, I contacted Mark Lacey, and I said, hey, you know, anytime you want to do an article on me again, feel free to write whatever you want about me. I don't care. Just write whatever you want. Just go for it and publish it, because, you know, it backfired right on him. So Alex, in my opinion, is seriously part of this problem, and you're going to see him keep on making these outrageous statements and not backing them up, and that's the problem.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree there, because I look at it like this. We put out invitations, extend invites, you know, to come here, and we have many accepts, and the people that I know we're not going to get accepted. I look at it like this. Yeah. You don't want to come here, you got something to hide. Joe Rogan, he puts us on ignore. There's Michael Tesarian, he bailed out 2 hours before a show because they changed my mind. You know, these guys here, if they don't have the balls to come, if you're going to put something out there, you got to be able to back it up. You got to be able to take, you know, criticism. And you're here. I mean, you've been taking a beating all over the internet. Here.
And I use my real name. And if you go to my Facebook account, you can see my high school and junior high photographs of me in school. There's my name. There I am with the bad haircut. You know, so it's not like I'm hiding. So yeah, I agree that you know if you're going to make a statement, back it up. But I can understand if people have families, you know, that they are afraid. But you know, when I disappear, that's when you should be afraid.
Okay. All right, Osiris, finish out what you got. Then we got to move to close.
We're getting real low on time, so this is one question I definitely wanted to ask, and basically this person had faith. They had done some research on the Nicholas Byrd beheading, and they found out that it was staged by the CIA and that it was actually Americans behind it. They also said that they did reverse speech analysis and the dialect was American, and they wanted to know if you had any thoughts on that.
Take a look at Tony Greenberg in his ears and then compare it and you'll see. That's one thing that I've been working on, that case, and that one bothers me big time because that one is something that's really, you know, if what I'm saying is true, and it is this person, Tony Greenberg, this person, he's been the cause of a lot of problems in this country. And personally, from my perspective, when I look at that, and if we look at Homeland Security as their definition of domestic terrorist, it's anybody that uses fear or violence to promote or push a political agenda. These actors, and although they may be not overstepping the boundary of the law, my perspective is they are being used to manipulate the media and being used to manipulate us into different agenda changes when it comes to the policies. That, by definition, is domestic terrorism. And if you want to look at it, whatever they try to say, oh, well, we were just acting, you know, we were hired as actors to do whatever, and that may be legally correct, that may be fine. Morally, these people are knowingly doing this, and if you get tricked once, that's fine. But if the same actor has shown up again and again and again in different events with the same underlying pulling the guns, pulling the free speech, then you have to say that that person is knowingly contributing to this undermining of your perspective of this country and the way it's supposed to be. So that's domestic terrorist. And if he is that person that we just mentioned with the beheading, seriously, they need to seriously be brought up on charges in my point of view. Really, I can't see any other way around it.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you. We're gonna head to close out. So, Jay, we all appreciate your time. Definitely thanks for coming out and answering as much as you can.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right, Reggie.
Are you there?
We're there, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know my mic was on. Hey, GLPVC's The Raw Thief would like to thank our guest, Dallas Goldbug, for sharing his investigation into exposing celebrities and those of influence are part of a bigger scheme and who may or may not actually be who they are. You can see his videos and investigation at his website at wellaware1.com. Our host, 2342, we thank you, sir. Also, a big shout out to our VC team, JDO, Kung Fu, Libertine, DS, ISIS, J, Kingman Art, Osiris, and Yobo. Hubnuts, you rock, our pods, bro. And to our wonderful leader, Phenomenon, we thank you for making these shows happen and for bringing in these wonderful guests for all of us in the GLP community to enjoy. Remember to join us next week on the Raw Feed Live when we will have Sophia Stewart, the author of whose book was based on the Matrix trilogies, Orly Tate, the Obama birther lawyer, Pastor Paul Begley, Jim Wilhelm, and Ralph Ellis. The podcast will be up shortly. This is a GLP voice chat presentation in conjunction with godlikeproductions.com. Have a great night, everyone.